Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What is it? Bienvenue.
Come on, just channel Ratatouille.
Bienvenue, Europe. That was dog shit. Bienvenue, Europe. That was crap. You do it.
Bienvenue, Europe.
Yeah, that was class. You're listening.
You have to say it now, though.
To Brad Baggins.
Christ, what a nightmare about an intro.
Accents always sound better in your head.
They do. They really, really do. Welcome back to Bandwagons. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Can I, Breed, I actually have a lot of shit to plug if I can do it actually early on in case I forget.
Do you want to do it for mini bandwagons? Because my mini bandwagons are kind of dog shit. They're not dog shit, but they're not like actual things. So I think your stuff would be a good addition.
When are they? Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah. But guys,
they're good.
Yeah, wait, you have to listen to the end because I have a lot of good...
I'll remind you.
I'm on a couple of podcasts and I have another... I have a podcast that I'm not on, but that I have been involved in that I would like to shout out. Anyway, that's all.
I watched a horror movie at 9 o'clock this morning.
What'd you watch?
I watched Ma.
Is it good?
Flat out, I am. You're like Ma. Literally 24/7 work and I'm like getting up and watching Ma.
Truly, like I'm watching a lot of Real Housewives of New York and
I don't like it, Fionnuala. I'm on season 3 and I do not enjoy it. They're all freaks.
Have you got to Luann's song yet? Elegance has learned, my friend.
I hate Luann.
I can't believe you don't. Why don't you like it?
I love Ramona and I loved Bethany up until season 3. And I loved Jill up until season 3 and now I hate them all except Ramona. And I'm starting to like Alex and Simon.
Yeah, it's through season.
I hate it.
Have you watched Scary Island yet?
No.
You need to stick with it until that.
It's just like the first 5 episodes of season 3 are just like all of them just fighting about the same thing over and back and having to sit beside each other at fashion shows for hours.
Like, I know, but
it's so boring.
But how can you say that when you compare it to Beverly Hills and they got a whole fucking season about Dorit giving back a dog?
But that's because they're just so much more glamorous and interesting in Beverly Hills and better looking and just like, I actually care. I care about them in Beverly Hills. Back.
Yeah, I am excited for the new season.
In a bad mood. I'm so excited.
I think you are in a bit of a bad mood. It is like, New York is a bit problematic, like, but I can't, I thought you'd be bed into it. I'm obsessed.
We're
all obsessed here. I have everyone watching it. Kean's like, when are we watching Jill Zarin and the charity event for Creepy Joy? Jill Zarin and Bobby Zarin Fabrics.
Yeah, I do. I love Jill. But like, they're just, I don't think anything is actually real in this now. I think they're just fighting for the sake of it.
I thought the complete opposite then. I thought it was so real.
Okay.
Way more real than Bev Hills, I think.
And the clothes and all are disgusting. I just hate it.
I know. Yeah, I know. I know.
But the Beverly Hills clothes are disgusting too sometimes. There's some of their day wear is fucking violent.
All Kyle wears is fucking moo moo.
Yeah, Kyle's stuff is violent. I'm buzzing to see Kathy.
Yeah. But why didn't she get an intro?
Maybe they're saving it for the big reveal.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe she comes in a bit later.
Kyle had a thing up today and she was like, I'm so excited for you to get to know Kathy better. She's so funny. And I was like, she is either really funny or not funny at all.
Kyle saying someone is funny doesn't exactly fill me with joy.
No.
Did you see there the other day that apparently they were at the same restaurant, Kyle and Lisa Vanderpump, and Lisa Vanderpump sent the bill to Kyle.
Oh.
And someone came up and asked her to autograph a picture of the Real Housewives, and LVP signed it and put crosses through the other girls' faces.
She is too much. She is too much.
And people are commenting, being like, this didn't happen. And Kyle commented being like, yes, it did. I was there.
Oh my God.
It's very funny. Anyway, I can't wait. And I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Anyway, I watched
Ma. She dined and dashed or something. I don't know. You watched Ma, yeah? Tell me how Ma was.
Ma, it was a slow burn. I put it on to go asleep, which is stupid. Because I was...
At nine in the morning? What are you talking
about? I didn't really sleep last night. I was in a weird way. I was in a weird, kind of half hungover. Do you know when you just wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep? So I woke up at 3:30, couldn't go back to sleep till 5:30, and then had to get up at 7:30 to do the school run. Or to go in and check the fucking toy aisles in Tesco before she went to school to see if there was a certain squishmallow there. Because the toy aisles opened this morning. So anyway, not relevant, but I was very tired and
not relevant at all.
And came back and watched Ma, and it was good. But it is a real slow burner, and then the end is just like pow pow pow. An uncomfortable watch all around.
What is it on? Netflix?
It just got added to Netflix, yeah. I remember wanting to see it when it came out. It's that girl that she's in Booksmart. She kind of looks like a young Julia Roberts. She's not one of the main girls in Booksmart. She's the gal that hooks up with one of the main girls in the bathroom at the house party.
I couldn't tell you. Billy Lord.
I don't know. She looks like a young Julia Roberts. She's beautiful.
Lord.
What a cool name. That's her.
I'll send it in chat here. Hang on. She's like Carrie Fisher's daughter.
No, not her.
Okay.
No. Do you remember in Booksmart?
She's my work group chat.
Oh, I'm going to find out.
I don't remember a lot of Booksmart, I'm going to be honest. When I say that, I mean, I remember Booksmart, but I don't remember a lot.
I watch Booksmart once a month.
Do you? Yeah.
Why is that so funny to you?
I don't know.
Sounds like I'm making that up, but it's true. Diana Silvers.
Why would you watch it once a month?
It's Diana so good. This guy.
Diana Silvers. I honestly, hang on. Oh, yeah. Oh, and they're shagging in the bathroom.
Yes, what I said. She's a young Julia.
Yeah, but I still did. Oh, yeah. What else is
Big
she?
Big lips.
Diana.
What is she in?
Oh, she's in Space Force. I watched an episode of that. What a terrible show. Oh my God, how did that get made?
What did Ma get? Ma only got 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. I should have looked that up first. Would have saved myself desperate. 2 hours. Anyway, I'll tell you what she's not in. The Eurovision.
The Eurovision. Yeah, she's not. So we put it to you guys. You came back with some interesting suggestions, including the HSE hack, which... Listen, no, I'm not really sure. Cybercrime, absolutely a bandwagon. Not one that we'd encourage anyone to get on.
Well, I read out some of the funny suggestions, other suggestions we got in, because some of them, someone suggested The Weeknd. I think it was the rapper.
They obviously meant the rapper. They didn't mean the days. They didn't. Hi, can you do a podcast that talks about Friday, Saturday, Sunday? It's Friday, and it's Saturday, Sunday. What?
The Menendez brothers.
Who are the Menendez brothers?
Oh, they're some murderers. Chrissy Teigen Revisited. People really, really wanted more renting stories. Drug abuse in Ireland.
No, I'm not laughing at that, but
No, I'm not laughing at that either. I'm just I'm laughing at people thinking we could make that funny.
We can't. Drug abuse is
We serious. Cannot, yeah.
The Chrissy Teigen stuff, listen, we probably will have to come back and revisit that at some point, but that's also incredibly dark. And to be honest, in fairness to a listener, I'm pretty sure they flagged that with us at the time. And I can't remember if we spoke about it or not. But yeah, I was just I can't. It's bad. Look it up yourself if you're interested.
The Boom? Someone. There's
such a large piece of fluff in my eye. The boom, yeah, I feel like that's more Patreon, though, isn't it?
The HSE hack, the Brits, random, but Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman, we could do an episode on.
Bennifer came up a lot, which we did, like you did really want to do. Well, maybe we still will. Emigrating, reigning in the years, gals in sport, Shadow and Bone on Netflix.
I mean, I've actually heard a lot about Shadow and Bone because it was a book series as well.
I refuse to watch it, but I have heard it's very good.
Ben Barnes is in it. Sexy Ben Barnes.
Who's Ben Barnes?
You know, fucking Prince Caspian.
What's that? From Narnia?
Narnia, yeah.
I don't remember having any sexual feelings towards Narnia. Ben.
He was like, Burns. When he came in, it was like, oh my, Narnia is full of rides. We need to be paying attention.
He is sexy.
Forget this Lion, Witch and Wardrobe.
He's in Stardust. Fucking hell. That Gary Barlow.
Yeah, you and me, we can light up the sky.
Anyway, we're flip-flopping in the Eurovision.
Should we do Stardust for Movie Club?
Yeah.
You're not going to drink anymore because you get like this and then I sponge off it. And then we have the same energy.
Like this? I'm always like this.
No, you're worse when you've been drinking.
Worse? How so? Worse than what
your
way?
Brain is just like, cannot. You don't know where you are. You're seeing colours.
I don't know my Linda Martins.
Can't really focus on
light. Johnny Logan's. Yeah, no, you're dead right. You are dead right.
Anyway, we are talking about the Eurovision. A strange year to do it, as we keep saying, obviously, because it's a very different ceremony. Obviously, it didn't happen last year. Well, it happened, but not as we usually know it. It was more kind of like a celebration. It wasn't a competition. The competition element is back this year.
Real winner was music.
But it's very scaled down, yeah, because of the global panini. So,
do you want me to?
Do you have?
Will
you tell me how it started?
No, I thought you were going to do that.
Oh, fuck. Was I?
Yeah, but it's fine. I can get it now.
Right.
Eurovision Song Contest.
While you're pulling that together, let's talk about our earliest memories of Eurovision.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would love to.
I remember...
62?
I'm trying to think. Like, Mickey Jo Hart probably would have been the most, like, I was involved and... that's not true. Like,
you were involved and excited. You couldn't say you were involved and excited with Mickey Jo Hart.
No, not like that.
You are such a liar.
Let's start that rumor. No,
I was involved. I was six.
What year was that? Fuck, I need to Google that for you before I get cancelled.
How old was I in 2003? 2003. Seven.
1995. I was eight, actually.
You weren't eight yet because it was the May.
Oh, right. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Quick maths.
This is fucking the correction hour. Anyway, that was the first, like, I obviously knew about the song contest, but that was the first time I, like, cared because I was really into the song, obviously really into Mickey Jo Hart. And I'd watched Eurostar.
Yeah.
And I think I watched it nearly every year after that, but I haven't watched it properly, I would say, in the last maybe 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you started watching?
Yeah, it's like one of my childhood, like, big memories from my childhood is Eurovision, like, having to watch it every year. I remember making my family come home from my communion party early because it was the same night as Eurovision. And I remember sitting on the couch watching. I don't know if we had to come home early. We came home from like the hotel or whatever after dinner.
Yeah,
and I was
just
like,
lying again.
I was, yeah, probably. And I just had to get home in time for Eurovision, sat on the couch in my communion dress, bed into Eurovision. Like that was the highlight of my day. That was the peak. And I remember also, I just went and asked mom about this and she doesn't remember it at all, but we used to have a CD. Like, and I don't know what the CD was or what like combination of songs were on it, but Books Fizz was on it, that like Making Your Mind Up song.
Mind Up, yeah.
And as like a very small child, I would put that song on over and over and over, and I would dance to it in the kitchen, and I was bad into it. I love those.
That,
like,
is a cracking tune. UK have never done a better entry than that, bar maybe a Pizza Hut and took a fried.
They did not.
McDonald's, yeah.
Was that an actual Eurovision
song? Did you
song?
Not know that?
No.
Yeah, do you not know that?
Like an urban legend song, like a Scooby-Yard song.
Fast food song by Fast Food Rockers.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. That is,
I'll tell you about them later on. You need to tell me about how it started first.
The Eurovision Song Contest, the Concours Eurovision de la Chanson en français, don't know why it's only in French, is an international song competition organized annually by the European Broadcasting Union, which features participants representing primarily European countries. Each participating country submits an original song to be performed live on live television and radio, transmitted to national broadcasters via the EBU's networks, with competing countries then casting votes for the other countries' songs to determine a winner. Based on the San Remo Music Festival held in Italy since 1951, Eurovision has been held annually, apart from 2020, since 1956, making it the longest running annual international televised music competition and one of the world's longest running television programs. One, I'd love to know what runs longer than that.
Lele Cho, probably. The News.
Do you, yeah.
Not The News, obviously, but.
So yeah, what else do you want to know? The scoring system.
Yeah, talk me through the scoring system. Because so, that's very controversial.
Yeah. So each participating broadcaster sends one original song of 3 minutes duration or less to be performed live by a singer or group of up to six people aged 16 or older. Each country awards two sets of 1 to 8, 10, and 12 points to their favourite songs based on the views of an assembled group of music professionals and the country's viewing public, with the song receiving the most points declared the winner. And then they have like an interval, like performance kind of based around the host country's culture. And if you win, basically you get to host it the next year. Basically.
Remember the year, did Madonna do an interval act at Eurovision before?
With Justin.
Justin Timberlake,
yeah. Madonna.
No, that was Quavo. That was actually in 2019. Justin Timberlake was not there.
Did he do one as well?
Oh, this was in Israel. This is why I did not know that this happens. Was Justin Timberlake there?
Did he do one as well? I feel like he appeared somewhere.
He could have done. Yeah, hang on. Justin Timberlake, Eurovision. I think he did Can't Stop the Feeling.
Yeah.
For the first time in the history of the Eurovision Song Contest, a non-contestant global superstar entered the stage at the 2016 Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah, I remember hating it. I was like, get off the stage, Justin.
Yeah, there was kind of no need.
No.
Australia obviously joined in 2015, which was a bit mental. Competed five times. They're not competing this year, obviously, because of the pandemic. They all decided that it was probably not safe to travel and everything else.
Yeah.
Do you remember Dami Im in 2016?
Mm-hmm. No.
Sound of Silence. Ooh. It beats to the sound of silence. She came second.
Oh no, then I don't. I thought I did until you sang it. And now I'm
so. And it was only supposed to be a one-off event.
Yeah.
But then they just decided, look, we'll throw them in, because it's really popular over there. Like the broadcaster, obviously they've broadcast over there since 1983. The contest, and it gets like good viewing figures.
Probably on during the day for them.
Is it on? Could well be, yeah. And then they were allowed vote in it from 2010 to 2014 in the finals. However, these votes were not counted at the actual contest and did not affect the overall result. What the fuck was the point then?
Yeah. Here, I have a little quiz about Eurovision that'll just like test your knowledge before we get into anything.
Okay.
Do you want it?
Of course. You want some?
You want some? Yeah. Okay, question number one. This is from the RT Entertainment section of their website. Question number one. How many countries took part in the first ever Eurovision in 1956? 27, 17, or 7?
17.
Oh, I've actually just realised that I won't know the answers until I submit all the answers. So let's go 17.
Well, for Christ's sake.
And then I'll just tell you what you got wrong or right at the end. So you said 17. Okay. Ireland is still the most successful at the competition with 7 wins, but who has 6 wins? Sweden, Great Britain, or France?
Sweden.
Yeah, I think it might be Sweden.
It's hardly Great Britain.
No.
And I don't really remember anyone from France.
When and where did Ireland make its debut in the contest? Was it 1982 in Dublin, 1965 in Naples, or 1974 in London?
1965
in Naples.
In Naples. Napoli!
Which song did ABBA win the contest for Sweden in 1974? Mamma Mia.
Waterloo.
Yeah. Waterloo. Who famously whipped their skirts off mid-performance in 1981?
Buck Fizz.
She is on a roll, folks. During which contest was Riverdance first performed as the interval act? 1994 in the Point Theatre in Dublin, 1993 in Mill Street in Cork, or 1971 in the Gaiety in Dublin?
The second one, 1994 in Dublin. No.
That was the first
one. The first one. Sorry. That's my point.
I actually genuinely do not know the answer to this. What famous chef did Dustin the Turkey beat to represent Ireland in 2008? Nevin Maguire, Donal Skehan, or Rachel Allen?
It was Donal Skehan. Do you remember with his band?
No.
Was it Industry? I got a ticket, don't care how much I have to pay. My baby's waiting. Do you not remember that song? Might not have been the song that they entered to Eurovision, but like he fully had a band called Industry. Band. Ireland. Hang on.
I was like, this has to be a mistake.
Okay, before you carry on, we do need to talk about this. So it was Donal Skehan, Morgan Dean, Michelle McGrath, and Britton Lee Hutton. The band had two number one hit singles in the Irish singles chart, My Baby's Waiting, which I just sang, and Burn, which I don't remember. I'm going to be totally honest. Where does it say about... In 2009, they were a supporting act for the Pussycat Dolls at Fitzgerald Stadium, Killarney. Like that.
Insane.
Morgan was a presenter on The Den. Where does it say about it was just him. Sorry, it actually wasn't Industry at all. It was just Donal Skehan. Sorry. But he was a singer and that's how he started. And his song was Double Cross My Heart, composed by Joel Humlin, Oscar Gores, and Charlie Manson.
Oh my god. Charles Manson himself.
Yeah, imagine being by Charles Manson.
Okay, question number 8. How many times has Australia participated in the contest? 5, 3 or 9?
5, as we just covered.
Celine Dion won Eurovision in 1988 with Ne Patre Pas Sans Moi for which country? England,
Switzerland.
France or Switzerland? Question 10. What happened during Suri's performance in 2018? All the lights went out, there was an invader on the stage, or she forgot the lyrics.
There was an invader on the stage. Wasn't that UK?
Yeah, I think so. Number 11, Ireland has famously won the Eurovision the most times, but how many times have we come second? 4, 6 or 3?
4? That's a pure guess.
Who was the youngest ever Eurovision winner? Sandra Kim from Belgium in 1986, Nicole from Germany in 1982, or Natalie Pack from France in 1989?
Oh, I'll have to guess this one. Natalie Pack.
Poor Norway has become a running joke at Eurovision for ending last more than any other country. How many times have they achieved this feat?
Do I have options?
Sorry, 6, 11 or 4?
11. Has to be 11.
14. Which Irish journalist co-wrote Dervish's 2007 entry, They Can't Stop the Spring, which finished last that year? Was it Eamon Dunphy, John Waters or Barry Egan?
I cannot remember. And I remember watching that Lay thing. They can't stop the spring. It's such an Alive-O song. Was it John Waters? I think John Waters is a bad man now. He definitely is.
Final question. Johnny Logan's old mate Dickie Rock was Ireland's entry in 1966. But what was the song called? Come Back to Bray, Come Back to Stay, or Come Back in Black?
Come Back in Black. It really? Was written by John Waters. What the fuck?
Would you let me
John Waters
submit?
Sorry. That man is evil.
You got
no wonder he wrote that song.
12 out of 15 right. So the first ever Eurovision, 27. We said 17. I think only 7 took part in the first one. It won't tell me the right answer for some reason. That's so.
Anyway, I got.
It's not 17 and it's not 27 because that's too many. So let's just say it was 7. We got the youngest ever winner wrong, and we got the comeback in black wrong because it was clearly comeback to stay. That's the only real.
I read comeback to black sounded fair. Who was the youngest Eurovision winner?
We don't know. Just it wasn't Natalie Pack, but it won't give you the
tell us.
No, I don't know why. What a stupid quiz, RT. Come on.
Before we get down memory lane, have you heard about the American one that's happening?
No. Because this is a thing in America at all. Like, my brother was over there and he was talking about it to someone and they were like, have you ever heard of this thing called Eurovision? And he was like, yes, of course. Like, it's not really a thing in America unless you're like actively go looking for it.
Yeah, unless you're like, yeah, you're a fan, like, kind of from the off. Yeah, yeah. They're doing their own thing. It's called the American Song Contest. It's been in development since 2019 and it's going to be broadcast on NBC this summer. I'm sure we'll get it somewhere. Maybe RT will get it. And it's every state competing against each other in the same way. And then on top of that, you have Washington, D.C., American Samoa, Guam, the Northern Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands.
I have no interest in that. Do you?
Oh, literally.
Minus interest.
I couldn't care, like.
No. It won't be good.
I think because, like...
It'll be like the All-Ireland talent show. Like, it's all... You're all from the one place. You're all going to sound the same.
Well, no, like, they're not, but I don't think... you're going to have the same variety that you would with the
Yeah, audition. That's what I mean. Yeah, it's not going to be as, like... It's a, yeah, they're not all going to sound the same, but, like, it just... Yeah, it won't be as varied as it should be to make it interesting.
Mm. Mm. So there you go.
Do you know who the favourites are for this year?
Oh, I do actually, but are you going to tell me?
I just have them in front of me while I read them out.
Yeah.
So the current bookies top 10 is as follows. I like these kind of vary from site to site, so I think this is what it stands as at the minute. France is number one with best odds 11-4. Malta.
Well, sorry, should we talk about the big six? Because France is part of the big six, isn't it?
Yeah, France, Italy, Spain, Portugal, the UK, and Germany, is it?
Yeah, and whoever's won. So like
sorry,
this year,
yeah,
it's going to be...
Who am I putting in?
It's the big five.
So what is that? Like France, Spain, six. Germany, UK, and whoever's won?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, what is the big five?
No, Italy, sorry, as well. So the big five, formerly big four, are the group of countries who make the biggest financial contributions to the European Broadcasting Union, which is who puts on the Song Contest. In 2007, a rule was created to allow these countries direct entry into the final of the Eurovision Song Contest, so they don't participate in the semi-finals. Italy joined the contest they came back to the contest in 2011, so that's when the big four became the big five. So as you said, we have France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Britain, and then the winner, whoever's won from
they all get a pass.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's why we'll never win again. It's because we just can't even get past the semis.
But I think there's been a lot of change in terms of whatever with the music and whatever. I do think there's a move back towards like actually voting for a good song.
Good song. I don't know. I saw Italy was one of the favourites to win and I went and looked it up and it was like a pure rock, like heavy rock. And I didn't enjoy it. And I was like, how?
This year?
Yeah. I was like, how? And then like the French one is just like very, I just found it very boring.
I found last year's winner. I didn't realize it's that arcade song that you'd hear on TikTok. I knew it from TikTok because I didn't watch the 2019.
Well, it wouldn't have been, no one won last year. Did they?
No, this is 2019.
Oh yeah.
So this is still like, they're the most recent winner.
Yeah.
But that's like a proper like ballad. You know the song. It's like, all I know, loving you is a losing game.
Yeah.
It's not it's really not typical.
He had a big performance, I think. He had a very big production, from what I remember. Or like a good production.
So you're saying France or Italy?
Sorry, where are my winners? Where are my favourites? France, Malta, Switzerland, Italy are the top four. We're, I think, number 23. So, you know, you never know.
What do you think of this year's entry?
Maps.
I think it's better than the song we were putting forward last year.
Absolutely.
I think it's way better than Story of My Life.
Yeah. And I like Story of My Life. And I like the video.
I didn't hate Story of My Life. And I loved the video.
Yeah.
But when you, like, I just think Maps is,
it's more your
modern
vision.
I think. Yeah, but still kind of your vision. There was something about like
more catchy. More earwormy. Yeah, no, I did.
This is the way back home. Great.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
No, she's good. I have like high hopes for her doing well. Like obviously we just don't win it anymore for like multiple reasons, but yeah, I can see her doing well with it. I can see her getting to the final with it. Hopefully.
I think we'll definitely qualify.
Yeah. The last act to do well for us was Jedward. And they never let us forget it.
Which is just... Well, like, which is not... It's not mad because, like, I liked both of the songs.
Yeah, they were class.
And they're so... And they're, like, so demented. Controversial opinion. I actually think Waterline was better.
Yeah, Waterline is a tune.
I am close to the waterline.
Good I loved how one of them was always, like, a beat off.
Yeah, they'd be like, as the one. Yeah.
And dancing, even like one of them would do everything like half a second quicker.
Malta is another fave to win, I'm seeing here.
Yeah, I should.
Or did you say Malta? Sorry. Destiny.
I didn't listen to it, I don't think, though. If I won the lotto, I think I would go to Eurovision. That's how passionate I feel.
It seems to be like such an event. Do you see Flo Rida is in it this year as well?
In it?
He's on San Marino's entry.
Interesting.
The song is called Adrenalina by the artist Senhit.
How's he getting away with that?
Flo Rida, this is what I don't get.
They were just pissed off away from Eurovision and like enjoy their global success.
Flo Rida features on the track and is expected to appear on stage on the night. He hasn't yet taken part in rehearsals, with Senhit saying it'll be a surprise if he shows up on the night. Watch this space.
Oh, go away. Like, go away. Like, you have it all. Let us have Eurovision.
Breed, Flo Rida does not have it all. What do you define as having it all? Because Flo Rida does not have that.
Flo Rida does not need Eurovision. And Eurovision does not need him. So I just want him far away from it. If we didn't want Justin Timberlake and we didn't really want Madonna, get out of here. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I want to return this, please. The Eurovision, though, has made, like, global stars out of people. Other than Flo Rida.
Yeah.
Can you name any of them, or do you want me to...
I have a list here of, like, some of the winners. And even when I was going through it, I was like... And obviously, we did it with the quiz. Like, you'd forget, like, Celine Dion was in it. And obviously, like, ABBA. Like,
Bonnie because Tyler.
Their success, like, kind of supersedes them now. Like, Lulu was in the UK at one point.
Olivia Newton-John before Greece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Katrina and the Waves.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Last Ketchup.
We're Last Ketchup in the Eurovision?
Yeah.
What? Doing what? Last Ketchup.
Axe failed to win. Cliff Richard, Last Ketchup.
Cliff Richard was the other one. Last Ketchup did Bloody Mary in 2006.
Legends. Mega legends.
Oh my God. So it's three sisters in Last Ketchup. And then in 2006, they were joined by their fourth sister.
Love that. Very, very Jonas Brothers.
To do Eurovision. The group has not released any single since 2006, but still performs publicly together around Spain and in other countries.
Good Step into the light, Last Ketchup.
Last Ketchup.
I said a hey.
I also said a ha. Well, sorry, before we get into like other people, the independent.co.uk like ranked all of the Eurovision winners. Can you guess what's number one?
Of all time.
Give me the top three.
Are any of them Irish?
No.
Oh, fuck. And then ABBA.
ABBA is one. Yeah, I'll give you that. ABBA, Waterloo. Sweden, 1974.
Conchita?
Two. Conchita is three, so Conchita did Rise Like a Phoenix, represented Austria in 2014.
And then the guy with the fiddle. What's his name?
Probably Alexander Rybak. I actually don't think he's on it. With a fairy tale. I don't care.
That's
my mind.
That's my list.
We were all so wet for Alexander Rybak when he was on.
We
were all like, give me a bit of him.
He was like singing and really good at the fiddle.
Yeah, he was.
And hot, anyway, like triple threat.
It was Laureen. What you?
Of course, my favorite song ever. Oh, I'm such a dumb bitch.
We're going up. Will we talk about Alexander Rybak though, as you mentioned him?
Yeah.
And while I have the page up, so he is a Belarusian Norwegian singer composer. It's funny when you talk about, because I didn't realize Norway is as bad as it was.
And he won for Norway.
And he won for Norway in 2009.
Maybe that's why it was such a big deal at the time.
And his song, Fairy Tale, that we just butchered, got the highest tally any country has achieved in the history of Eurovision under the then voting system. It's changed since.
Legend.
With 387 points. And he wrote and composed the song. And he was 23.
Oh my
God. He's the youngest solo male winner of the contest and the only Belarusian born winner.
All of a sudden, I feel sick.
His win was celebrated all across Europe for crushing stereotypes about the contest, such as needing an over-the-top performance and the negative influence of neighbour voting. He represented Norway in 2018 with That's How You Write a Song, and then he finished 15th. That was a bad time. Yeah. Do you remember that?
No.
He was the opening act in 2010 for the grand final, and he was an interval act in 2012 and 2016. So there you go. What has he done since, I hear you ask?
Step into the light. What's him?
Why do you keep saying step into the light?
I just think it's funny.
Step into the light.
What's his name?
Norwegians had voted Fairy Tale as their all-time favourite Eurovision song. It doesn't really seem to be doing much at the minute. Children's musical that I can't pronounce.
Would they live off that? The royalties of that? No, I don't think you... What do you win? Do you win financial gains?
Do you win money? That's a great
I don't think so. I question. Feel like that's against the spirit of Eurovision.
Eurovision Song Contest. Surely you have to win something. What the fuck is the prize?
And if you win I don't think like you win. I feel like it goes to like the homeland. The government gets it.
And would you get the government? Don't get it. Sorry, if I got into the Eurovision, Micheál Martin is not getting anywhere near my money. How dare you?
No, isn't it the that's the whole thing?
Have it. The winning artists and songwriters receive a trophy, which since 2008 has followed a standard design, a handmade piece of sandblasted glass, painted details in the shape of a 1950s style microphone. This is shite.
That's it. How much could you sell that for?
The trophy is typically presented by the previous year's winners. Others who have handed out the awards in the past include representatives from the host broadcaster or the EBU. And
exactly like the Rose of Tralee.
But I'm sure it's kind of like obviously publicity and everything.
Yeah.
Like that's where you make your...
Isn't the whole thing with Ireland, like even if we won the Eurovision, we couldn't afford to host it?
I think that was the running joke during like the recession. I feel like we'd probably
we're doing great now.
No, but like
back in the dark days,
I feel like this government, I feel like they'd find a few bob under the couch or something to do it. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, you couldn't turn it down. Jesus, you'd be so embarrassed.
I wonder has anyone refused or not been able to.
I'm so giddy. Yeah, I'd say so. Too. Will we talk Johnny Logan?
Yeah, tell me about Johnny Logan.
We were privileged. We've had the quintessentially Irish experience of being in the Late Late Show audience while Johnny Logan was a guest on the Late Late Show.
That came up in my Instagram memories the other day, and it's just a photo of you bizarre. That I took of you on the sly, and it's just
it's crying. Just
like it's like a quote over it from you that said, "I can't believe I saw Johnny Logan's bulge." You were the tightest trousers, do you remember?
He was, and he could barely walk. He had to be escorted onto the set.
What can I emailed say when
Johnny Logan once that? And he got back to me. He's very
what
nice.
What was that for?
We did the DC Eurovision in college, and we were like, will you come and be the halftime act? And he was just like, I would love to, but I'm actually, he performs in Germany quite a bit. And he literally, it sounded like him writing back. He was like, I would love this, but I will be on tour in Germany, but best of luck. And like, really, really nice. And then we got good old Mickey Joe.
Yeah, Mickey
anyway,
Joe.
Anyway, so we were fine.
Talk to me about Johnny Logan.
So Johnny remains the only artist to have won multiple Eurovision titles as a performer, winning the contest for Ireland in 1980 with What's Another Year, written by Shay Healy. And in 1987, with the self-penned Hold Me Now. He was also the winning songwriter in 1992 for Linda Martin. He wrote Why Me, and has therefore achieved 3 contest victories as either a performer or a writer. And for a long time...
When the fuck did Rock and Roll Kids happen, though?
Yeah, but he had no... like he. Yeah, no, they won, but like, and like I Am The Voice and Niamh Kavanagh won, but like Johnny Logan had no input in those songs. He had no hand in them. He has 3 wins under his belt, 2 as a rock performer and 1 as a writer. Johnny Logan
did
didn't
he
write
Rock and Roll
no,
Kids.
No.
What?
No.
Oh,
there's that's 2
my
other
God.
Men.
That is 2 other men. Oh my God.
It doesn't even sound like him. Sounds like a duet.
We the rock and roll. I feel like he's always singing though, is he not?
No, well, yeah, he does the medleys.
Anyway, I do
he
like
the other
ones.
Medleys. Do you remember
Hold Me Now is better than the other one?
Yeah, I listened to
What's
them both
another year?
Before. Yeah, they're great. They are great songs. Yeah, so that's
what did you start saying?
I was going to say, do you remember Owen Luke performing Hold Me Now in college? And he's like, Owen Luke, I love you, but you are tone deaf. And it was. One of the happiest moments of my whole life. It was so good.
Oh,
I don't think he listens. He
definitely
I don't
listens. Think so either. It's fine. He's not going to be mad.
No, he
maybe he will be. Tell you what, he can play the spoons.
If he tries to tell me that he can sing, I will physically fight him.
Who else? Let's talk about Conchita.
Yeah.
Conchita was
because,
like, I think, well, yeah, but I think kind of people underestimate, or definitely me anyway, or like if you're not a big Eurovision fan or you're not a big drag fan, you kind of wouldn't realize how much of a platform it's been for like drag artists.
Yeah,
I mean, I suppose it seems obvious because it goes so hand in hand, but like, you remember the guy? Remember the act they did it for? Ukraine, and they were all like silver and like robots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a drag act. Verka Serdushka. That's like their.
Yeah, it's not really a thing. It's just like another act, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like
in
it's
Eurovision,
not like...
it's never like. Apart from when Conchita won.
How do you mean?
I feel like when Conchita won, it was more of a conversation about like her appearance and. Whereas like now I feel like it's just like, and this act is like this act and you don't really question it. I don't really.
Well, yeah. And yeah. So Conchita won in 2014 at Rise Like a Phoenix, as we mentioned. Real name is Thomas Newworth. And then the stage persona is Conchita Wurst. Like incredible voice, was on like singing contests in Austria. And was selected, obviously, to represent Austria in 2014. Established her as a gay icon.
Yeah.
So since kind of performed with Pride and stuff. Great song. And again, kind of like bucked the trend of, you know, again, where it was kind of like a big power ballad.
Yeah.
For like 2014, you know what I mean? But like, of course, like, there were protests because people are fucking the way they are.
Freaks.
And like Conchita obviously wasn't like the first person from the LGBTQ community. You had like Dana International, obviously, won in 1998 for Israel. I suppose what made Conchita different was that it was the most like gender queer aesthetically, just as you said, like with like you're kind of presenting as a woman, but you have a beard and it's not like performing or conventional.
And so beautiful that people were like, I am so sexually confused.
Yeah. So obviously proved controversial for conservative groups, like particularly in Eastern Europe. There was like petitions to have her pulled from the contest. Like some groups called it, like there was a Russian politician who called it like blatant propaganda of homosexuality, which is just like,
God forbid.
Armenia's entry for the contest, Aram MP3, stated that Newart's lifestyle was not natural and that he should decide whether he was a man or a woman. Newart hit back, I told him I don't want to be a woman. I am just a working queen and a very lazy boy at home. Aram subsequently apologized, stating that his prior comments had been intended to be a joke. Yeah, good one. And then obviously went on to win, won the competition with 290 points. This was Austria's first Eurovision win since 1966. So yeah.
Yeah, what an icon. An icon and a legend.
Yeah.
She was the moment.
She's done it. Like, she's modeled for Jean-Paul Gaultier since. Like, she's performed at the United Nations. Obviously has released her own music as well. She now kind of like splits. So she is like, there's like Conchita and like Thomas performs himself as Thomas Newart. He's under the name Worst. So he does like kind of different music there for Sony and stuff. He's HIV positive, which he's spoken about. And he's actually currently a judge on a drag reality TV series called Queens of Drag alongside Heidi Klum and Bill Kalutz.
Cool.
I'm not sure where that's on. And he's in the Netflix Eurovision movie.
Oh yeah, there's some cameos. There are some good cameos in that movie. I enjoyed that film.
I did not.
Okay.
Maybe I need to go back and watch it.
I just think it was just so camp. Yeah, yeah, ding dong. Ja, ja, ding dong. Oh my God, what a banger.
Maybe I need to go back to it. I don't know. I just kept being taken out of it. I think it's a pinch of salt. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
We should give shout outs to the other people other than Johnny Logan, who also won the Eurovision for us. Dana did it first in 1970 with All Kinds of Everything. Then, of course, Johnny Logan in 1980 and 1987, as I said. Linda Martin in 1992 with Why Me. Neve Kavanagh with In Your Eyes in 1993. We were on a streak. And then Paul Harrington and Charlie McGettigan with Rock and Roll Kids in 1994. And then Emer Quinn with The Voice in 1996 was the last win for us. For a long time, I used to say, why don't we just send Johnny Logan again? Like, people would love it and we'd win. But that's just like saying, why don't we print more money, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not a very, like, cut and dry solution.
It's so, like, but this is the thing. Like, on paper, like, maps should do very well is the thing.
Yeah.
It's so hard to predict anymore because it's not necessarily, like, I don't think the neighbor voting and the European bloc voting plays into it as much anymore, but it's kind of hard. If you look back at like the selection of winners, like even we talked about Fairy Tale, and then you'd like Lena obviously doing like Satellite, and like Ella Nikki from 2011 for Azerbaijan, like
for where?
It's for Azerbaijan. And then you had that, do you remember that one? Only Teardrops for Denmark for 2013. Like they're all very different songs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, it's hard to know like, what they're going to go with.
You know the way, like, Daddy Freyr, the Icelandic one, that went, like, super viral last year for Baby.
Yeah.
And everyone that wouldn't have won. But I think it would have purely based off of the viral success of it.
No, I don't think it would.
But, like, I would have never, I think so.
I think they don't really ever tend to go with like what's leading in the charts and stuff. They tend to go with like one of the other favorites, but like not the one. Like it's never predictable.
I don't
really know,
Breed. That was everywhere.
I know, but that's why it wouldn't have won.
No, I think that's exactly why it would have won.
Because the jury vote now takes 50%. So, like, even if the whole world voted for it, I don't think the juries would have given it to it.
He's representing this Iceland again this year with 10 years, which I'm going to be honest, I actually haven't.
I feel like it's come up on ads for me and it sounds kind of similar. But I don't know enough to comment.
Like, Think About Things went to number 3 in Ireland.
If I hear that song now, I will throw myself out this window. It's been overdone. Those TikTok songs really were a moment and are the moment.
Yeah. But sorry, what was my point? But anyway, even beyond the viral success of it, whatever, if I hadn't heard it and heard it on the night, I wouldn't have picked it as a winner.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not that I don't like the song. I do like, we have tickets to go see them for whenever they fucking play the Academy. But there's no way I would have picked it.
Yeah.
And then I don't think you could ever pick it.
I watch it religiously every year and I would never hear the song, hear a winning song and go, that's going to win. I'm always wrong.
No, sometimes I think sometimes it is obvious. Like the year Loreen was on, that was so obvious. Like Alexandra Rybak, so obvious.
It's obvious. Everything is clearer in hindsight.
No, I think.
As the saying goes.
No, I think those 2 years specifically, the rest of the years, maybe it was because I didn't have as much interest. Yeah. But
maybe I just don't research enough. I just sit down and do my own little scoring system in my head. And it's always arseways.
Do you know what? But if you're enjoying yourself,
listen, that's on me.
But even Lordi, that they won in 2006 with Hard Rock Hallelujah finish.
Oh my god,
everyone
knows
them, the Slipknot looking fellas. Formed in 1992, how could you have ever predicted that? And it was a good song, but it was so different to anything you could have ever expected of Eurovision.
Yeah,
you know.
We hold a few records, even though we're not doing that well. We do have a few we are holding some records. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
The obvious one, we have the most wins. We have 7 wins, including 3 consecutive wins.
Who was the second most wins?
I think it's Sweden.
Or did we did we?
That was in the quiz.
Second most wins, Eurovision. Yeah, hang on.
We also have the second place. We have won second place 4 times and 3rd once. So that's a lot. We are one of the few countries to have achieved consecutive wins and the only country to win consecutively 3 times. And we had 4 victories in 5 years, which is we're the only people to do that. Woo. We're the only country to host the contest consecutively and one of 8 countries never to turn down the chance to host the Eurovision Song Contest. So people do turn it down.
We would turn up to the opening of a fucking envelope.
We really would. We hold the record for most points from one country in a year alongside France in the 1 point per juror voting system, achieving 9 votes out of a possible 10 from Belgium in 1970. Ireland has an average of 74 points per contest, the highest average 2 points above the United Kingdom. And during the first semi-final of the 2014 contest, it was revealed that duo Jedward hold 2 Eurovision records for the highest hair in both their hair and the biggest, or the 2 Eurovision records for their highest hair and the biggest shoulder pads.
There you go. Which do you hear about this lad, Ralph Siegel? He's been in Eurovision 21 times.
No, what the hell?
Most recently in 2014. And he was the reason San Marino qualified for the first time ever in 2014. He was in it in 2017 as well, but he didn't perform. He wrote the song for San Marino and he's won once in 1982 with the famous Ein Bicken Frieden. I don't know that song, I'm going to be honest. Lena, who we mentioned, won in 2010. She decided to defend her home title. And only her and one other person have done that in the history of the contest.
It's a tough one. It's very rarely ever going to happen, I'd say, that you these days to give it to the same person 2 years in a row.
Yeah. I'm trying to, any other your favorite songs? Remember Fuego?
That's like that one in the last couple of years.
2018, yeah.
I genuinely, you You know, I hold a big, big, big space in my heart for We've Got the World.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Simon Casey did go on to represent us in the Eurovision, though, didn't he?
What?
Like a few years later. I couldn't tell you. Says everything, really, doesn't it? Simon Casey, Eurovision.
Yeah, should we send Nicky Byrne? Like, we will send anyone.
Didn't do well. A Better Plan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I do remember that. That was really like, I have a video. Oh my God, I'm going to root it out. I have a video from Mickey Joe. No, he's not in the Eurovision. It was when he won Eurostar. Never mind. I thought it was going to be his Eurovision performance, but I'm sure it's on YouTube. Never mind.
Do you know the song Fly on the Wings of Love?
Fly, baby, fly.
Fly. That was a Eurovision song.
Yeah. By, was it the Rock and Roll Kids?
No. Okay. Or, but no, it wasn't.
Was it one of them?
Was it? No.
Who was
the
it?
Rock and Roll Kids were Irish. These guys were Danish. They won in 2000. And obviously it went on and it was like remixed by DJ Sammy and stuff. So that's I think that's how people.
It seems like a very Irishy song. We used to all be
it's
like,
because
I'd play it on the tin whistle. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fly on the wings of love, fly, baby, fly. I only realised that earlier. It was the Olsen Brothers. Sorry, I don't know if I mentioned that, but yeah, it was the Olsen Brothers. Do you remember Eric Sade from Sweden?
No.
He came third in 2011. Do you remember he had the song? He was like, I will be popular, I will be popular. And he was another little wet thing. He was so hot. And sorry, 6 degrees of separation from Dave. He ended up doing a song with Dave called Hotter Than Fire.
Nice.
He's so hot.
I have not heard the term wet thing in so long, and that really made me happy.
It's a good tune, like.
Yeah. We sent him. Do
you know he has another song that he does, and it's like, put your heart in the air, you gotta love being you. Do it like I do. No.
That sounds like big Rita Ora vibes.
Yeah, it's very, very of that time.
Now, that's all I think about Eurovision. Do you have any parting thoughts?
Do I have any? You're massively running out of steam, are you? I'm trying to think. With Ella and Nikki, I was trying to find out more about. So that was, they did Running Scared. Do you remember Running? Na, 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 na? And it kind of sounded like Running Down the Stairs, but it was Running Scared.
Yes.
She lives in Enfield, North London. There was a whole thing that, like, apparently they
lovely
actually hated
station.
Each other, but their whole performance had to be like,
busy
like they were supposed to be like, oh, we're in love and everything else, but like they apparently they hated each other. And I was trying to find out more information about that, but I couldn't. If anyone has any goss, let me know. I'm trying to think who else. I don't care about your one, Emily DeForest, that one with only teardrops. What a shite song. What is Loreen doing at the minute? Fuck,
I hope
all.
She still has those fringe, that fringe.
2020 to present, return to music and upcoming Swedish album. She was obviously in the Netflix movie, and she's in another Netflix film called Winter Viking 2021, which is due to be released in 2021, portraying the main character's mother. And she's working.
How old is she?
How old is she? She's 37.
What the hell? In my head, right, when I picture Loreen, it's Carly Rae Jepsen, I just realized.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're not the same person, though, I will say.
Are they similar? It's the fringe. It's that black fringe,
but
for a while.
It is just the fringe, I think.
Yeah. God, I just realised that now, that all this time I've been picturing Carly Rae Jepsen and Colin Loreen.
Hey, I just met you. They should submit her, in fairness.
Yeah.
I'm just scrolling through another list to see if there was anything else to say. Not really, I don't think. Are you going to watch?
Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of people talking about not watching it because of the Israel stuff, which I completely, like, I don't think I'm going to watch it anyway, just because I haven't in the last few years. I'm out of, like, the swing of it. I can't believe, like, Israel are hardly going to stay in it, like, you know what I mean? Surely. I feel like that's going to be a disaster. Actually, let's not get into this on this podcast. But,
no, that's really not. If I'm around and it's on, I will probably put it on in the background, and then maybe Saturday I might give it more attention, but like, I won't go out of my way to watch it. I will.
Nikki Tutorials is hosting for Netherlands, which is very exciting as well.
Yeah, we'd love to see it.
I've been loving like all of her like behind the scenes kind of bits and bobs. Yeah, that's it.
Text us your favourite Eurovision songs and we won't text you back. No, we will.
Yeah.
Set my mic.
We might. You're just slapping your mic.
Yeah. I'm thinking if I break my mic, you might let me go. Do you want some mini bandwagons that I just have some questions I want to ask you about. Right. Can you explain to me why people were shifting at the MTV Awards? Why so many people were shifting on the MTV Awards?
For attention.
Okay. Okay.
It was Addison Rae and Your Man and then the people from Outer Banks or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I saw a lot of people. I've honestly like two separate people. I was like, I've never
cared about anything less in my entire life than the MTV Music Awards or MTV Movie Awards and people kissing at it. Don't care.
Okay.
Do you know that's only part two of the ceremony as well? They're splitting it up for some reason.
Oh, for God's sake. I think it's both the video and the music awards because it's just called the MTV Awards this year. So maybe
it's definitely the movie awards.
Oh, okay.
Hang on, let me check that, but I'm pretty sure.
What is this Backyardigan song? Why do I love it so much and where did it come from? Castaways.
It's movie and TV awards. Yeah, sorry. I think I saw Jen Morris talking about this.
Castaways.
And then I saw like a TikTok dance tutorial of the song.
It's everywhere now. We are castaways. What an absolute bop.
Backyardigans has some tunes on it. To make the world nice, fill it up with ice. It's like a Nickelodeon cartoon. I don't know if they still make it.
Okay.
Castaways has 2 million streams.
Okay.
Nearly 3. The theme song is 4. They have a 2005 album. I need to find out if they have that ice song on it. Make the world nice, fill it up with ice. Oh, they came out with another album in 2008. Look at that. Can you see this? Like, they look fucking lit. They're all in like suits and stuff.
They are lit.
they look
particularly swag.
The Backyardigans are not in their flop era.
I wanted to talk to you about TikTok fairies as well, but I actually don't think I have the brain space for it.
I don't want to allow the brain space.
We are going live on Instagram this Friday.
Yes, we are.
At 7 PM.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Hashtag advertisement. We're working with Essence to promote some of their new products. So we will be going live. So please watch that.
For the first time since we cut our bangs on Instagram. We're back. Yeah. And
We're back with a bang. Yeah, we're doing makeup.
The floor is yours now.
I'm on Experience Share, a Pokemon podcast with Tanner and Josh again. By the time you listen to this, it will be out. But in my head, it's tomorrow. But as you listen to it, it will be today. We're playing Pokemon Heart Gold and we had a right laugh and I was representing bandwagons. And Breed, I did you proud. That's all I'll say. I did you proud.
Sorry, this hasn't happened yet. But okay.
It has happened.
You're manifesting that.
No, it has happened.
It has happened. Oh, okay.
We recorded on Friday. Yeah.
Oh, but
And what else? I was on Gotta Snatch 'Em All last week with Alex, which is a podcast about Pokemon and queer culture. And I was very honored to be on that as an ally. And we had a good chat about Pokemon and other things. And it was very nice. And I would encourage you to listen. And then the podcast that I am not on but was involved with is Invisible Threads, which comes from our good friend James O'Hagan, who you might know from Sissy That Pod.
Yep.
And it's an 8-part podcast which features interviews with older members of the LGBTQ community. And I'm repeating myself so much, but I'm not exaggerating. It is absolutely incredible. It is such a good series. So emotional, really powerful, and just absolutely like a must listen for anyone.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually.
And you can get that. You can get that on Go Loud or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
What a buzz!
And that's it.
What a treat this was.
What a treat! Absolutely, Breed. I couldn't.
The listeners
couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah, and I hope they enjoyed, and I hope you are not too scared from a certain toilet from last week. We much appreciate it.
Oh my god.
This has been Bandwagons. We are Bandwagons podcast on social media. Follow us on Spotify to get all the latest episodes straight to you. If you want to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be really nice. Make sure it's nice. This podcast has been produced by Collaborative Studios. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can. We would love that. For the low, low price of, how much is it a month?
It is €5, £5 or $5. You can choose.
It's €5 a month and you get a minimum of 4 bonus episodes every month, as well as some other goodies. I think that's it, isn't it?
I think so. Else? No, we don't know what we're doing this week for Patreon, but what's new there? Probably it'll be something great, as usual. Getting a lot of good feedback on the Patreon content. A lot of people really enjoy the bonus episodes. So thank you for that. We do appreciate the feedback on that.
Yeah, we do really appreciate that. Yeah, that's it from us. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Au revoir.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.